Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 1 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 41. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? We want to know you through your word. Come and meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 41, starting in verse 1. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. Now, you just thought that your dreams were weird. I mean, that's a weird dream right there. Having skinny cows come up and eat fat cows is just strange. But the thing that I want to point out here, it hurts. It hurts so much when I read it. The way this starts out, it says, when 2 full years had passed. This is 2 full years, if you remember from chapter 40, when the wine taster, whatever he's called, the guy in charge of the cup, when he's put back into position, Joseph's like, please remember me and get me out of here. And he forgets. And 2 more years go by. That one sentence, it causes me pain to think about it, because for another 2 years, on top of how long he's already spent as a slave and as a prisoner, Joseph is still just languishing in prison. You know, you'd think that the way the Lord would work was, you know, the guy in charge of the cupbearer forgets about Joseph, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, this thing happens where Pharaoh has these dreams, but it's 2 years. This was God's plan for Joseph to spend another 2 years in this dungeon. I mean, yeah, he's in charge of it, but he's still in a dungeon in ancient Egypt. There's just nothing about this that sounds good. But again, God is good. And the plans that he had for Joseph, they're amazing. They're beyond what Joseph could have possibly imagined. But the pain that he must have gone through, just the anguish and torment of just being there. Oh, that just causes me pain to think about. And I know, like, I look at my life and I know other people's lives. We find ourselves in these places and we wonder when we're in the midst of it. You know, we're looking back on this now and we can learn valuable lessons from it. But Joseph is sitting in the dungeon thinking, I don't want the valuable lessons. I just want out. And when we're in the midst of these things, we just want out. And that's all I can think when I read this. I see Joseph just sitting up against the wall of the dungeon thinking, how much longer? What am I doing here, God? How did I end up here? I mean, those are the questions we all ask when we find ourselves in these places. And I can just imagine Joseph just for years and years wondering, God, are you there? What happened? What did I do to deserve this? And the answer, of course, is nothing. Nothing. This is part of the plan. Sometimes the journey on the plan looks nothing like what we would have imagined. Verse 5. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. It was a bad dream. It really was a bad dream. This is so bizarre. I mean, he thought that was a weird dream. I don't know what to make of it. I'm going back to sleep. And then he has another one just like it. Pharaoh knows that the Lord is speaking to him. He just doesn't have a clue what. As I'm sure most of us would wake up from that dream thinking, I have not got a clue what this means. Verse 8. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, Today, I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he had interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. So here, obviously, Joseph is in an actual dungeon. He's unshaven, and he's got lousy clothes on, you know, as you would expect. And so they don't want him appearing before Pharaoh like that, so they clean him up. They dress him up as quickly as they possibly can. Verse 15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Verse 16, I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Now, you wonder, did Joseph leave a pause in that when he said, I cannot do it? Or did he make sure there was absolutely a millisecond of a pause when he said that? Because he wants to clarify before Pharaoh, it's not me. It's not me that can interpret this dream, but the Lord knows your dream, and he can give me the interpretation of it. So Joseph wants to make it clear that I'm not the special one here. It's the Lord who does this. He's the special one. I'm his servant. But I have to imagine Joseph was like, I cannot do it, but it's God. It's God. I mean, I just want to make sure that it's clear that we can figure this out for you, Pharaoh, but it's not me, it's God. I think about that moment where Joseph is probably carefully choosing his words and how he's going to say it, because this is his moment, and he knows it's his moment. He knows this is his moment to get out of here, and he knows the Lord has to come through for him to interpret these dreams, but he's got to be choosing those words very carefully. Verse 17, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they had ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full of food, or full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. Now, again, I want to point out, whenever the Bible reiterates something and says it twice, it's important for us to take note of that fact. There's no wasted words in God's word. In scripture, there's not a single wasted word. It's the fact that our narrator tells us the dreams, and then Pharaoh himself tells us the dreams almost exactly the same way. It's very important for us to pay attention to that. I just want to point that out, because the two stories are just a bit different. You know, Pharaoh's troubled by this, and he makes that clear to Joseph that he's never seen cows like this in Egypt. Verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. So this is very interesting here. So the Lord obviously gives Joseph very quick discernment over what these dreams mean. It's very clear to Joseph. And what I find interesting here is that Joseph said the reason you were given this dream twice is because the Lord's decided this. This isn't something that we need to pray against. This is something we need to prepare for. And when reading dreams and understanding dreams, there's a difference. There we look in scripture, and there's many places where it seems like it's very clear when the Lord makes a pronouncement, it's an opportunity to repent and see if he will come and forgive us. And like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, heal our land. Like this would be a great opportunity for Egypt to say, we repent, come and heal our land, Lord. But that's not what's going on here. The Lord's doing something else. So it's very critical when looking at these kind of things that we don't, you know, say, well, hey, you know, because this thing happened twice, this is what the Lord's doing. We can't know that. This is something that the Holy Spirit has illuminated to Joseph, and he understands by revelation from God, not because he understands the pattern. The Lord is saying, the reason I gave this to you twice is because I've decided it. Don't pray against it. Prepare for it. That doesn't mean that we make a doctrine out of this. And anytime the Lord says something twice or does it three times, it's firmly established. That doesn't necessarily, it's not the case all the time. It may be, but it's, we need revelation. We need understanding from God like Joseph had, not that we need to make a, you know, a doctrine. Like I said, we need to make a pattern from scripture. The point here is not that if the Lord gives you a dream twice or if something happens twice or three times or whatever, that that's firmly decided. The point is when something like this happens, you go to the Lord and you ask. You need greater understanding and wisdom. That's the point. Verse 33, and now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. I'm sure Joseph is probably like looking around, winking at some people. He's like, he's about to describe himself. He knows it. This is Joseph's moment right here. And I love this. Verse 34, let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food shall be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. Now, it's interesting that he knows it's going to be 7 years, but he says, let's collect one fifth. He wants one fifth. He wants more than what's necessary just for Egypt because he knows this is going to impact a broader region. He wants to preserve Egypt and preserve, you know, more people than just Egypt. And he's probably also thinking, and we need to have some extra for waste and rot and things like that. So Joseph is showing himself to be very shrewd by saying, hey, let's choose somebody who's very wise. And then he automatically comes up with a plan that's not, well, let's just take, you know, 1/6 or, you know, 1/7 or 1/10, and we'll just have to get by on the lean years. I mean, he's saying, let's make sure that we have more than what we need for the 7 years. So he's very shrewd and he's very wise all at the same time. Verse 37, the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man who is one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all of my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. In the course of maybe 20 minutes, Joseph went from a couple of decades of slavery and prison to the most powerful and wealthiest man on planet Earth. Now, there's going to be a lot of work, and Joseph is probably going to be a somewhat relatively hated man in Egypt for the next 7 years because he's the reason that people are going to be taxed at a very high rate. I mean, they're giving 20% of all of their food when they're not used to having to do that. Now, obviously, there's going to be an abundance, so hopefully the people aren't going to feel it, but anytime you have to pay taxes, you're not terribly happy about it. And so he's probably not going to be a well-liked person by most of the rank and file of Egypt over the next 7 years, but that is going to very quickly change during the last 7 years. But I just love, I love the way the Lord's done this. I mean, he got cleaned up from prison. He's probably dirty and smelly. They bathe him, they shave him, they give him new clothes, and stand him up before Pharaoh, where an hour before he was a prisoner, and now he's in charge of everything and everyone, including his former slave master who had him thrown in the prison. This is amazing. The Lord doesn't always do things like this, but the Lord does do things like this on a regular basis in Scripture and in our contemporary lives. The Lord loves to break in with these kinds of things. Verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took a signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He made him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And people shouted before, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Now understand that he's giving him this man's wife, probably because she's beautiful. He's an aristocrat. He's like the high priest of their main deity. So Joseph has been immediately ushered into the aristocracy of Egypt. Immediately. I mean, again, some time has passed before all of this. Didn't all happen in one day, but this is we're looking at a progression of time now, like maybe some months or even over the next year, all of this is happening to Joseph. But he's, I mean, in really just a moment, he's been pulled into the aristocracy of Egypt, and it's amazing. Now, verse 46 gives us an understanding. When he started out, he was 17. In verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. 13 years of bondage, slavery, and imprisonment. And it's going to be another 14 years before he sees his brothers and his father, where all of this kind of comes back together. We're talking about almost 30 years of Joseph's life where all of this doesn't quite make sense. Now, I'm sure in this one moment, Joseph is remembering these dreams. But again, it's going to be another 14 years before this dream comes true, where his brothers come and bow down before him. There's a lot of water underneath the bridge before Joseph sees what the Lord had planned from the beginning. And I imagine even now, Joseph is still going to wrestle with the pain of the past 13 years. Any one of us, if we had gone through this, I can't imagine just the pain and the turmoil that we would carry with us, even though now we're the wealthiest and most respected and sought after man on planet Earth. It doesn't mean that those years of pain just disappear from our mind. Verse 47, during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years in abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God made me forget all my trouble in all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Now, that's what these two boys' names mean. Manasseh means forget And Ephraim means fruitful or twice fruitful. And so even though Joseph is now wealthy, powerful, married to a trophy wife, all of these things that you think anyone would have wanted, the pain and the suffering the past 13, almost now 20 years here, it hasn't left him. And so he names his sons. In his sons is a remembrance of that suffering. The Lord has remembered me in that land of suffering. The Lord has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. I mean, both of their names, even though positive, they hearken back to what he's come through. He hasn't forgotten it. Even though the Lord's prospered him and he's over it, it's one of those things you never forget. You never fully get over that kind of pain. So if you've gone through that kind of pain, take heart, because Joseph understood that as well. Verse 53, the 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried out to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. This is one of the longest chapters in the book of Genesis, and so we've gone a little bit long today. So I'm going to end it there for today, but I love this week that we're on here. The next 4 days after today are how the Lord is going to bring this beautiful story to its conclusion for Joseph's life. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.